Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Susan Ellison, author of Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates. As a transpersonal psychologist, Dr. Susan Ellison has helped numerous clients and readers over the years heal from the loss caused by divorce, as well as heal physically and emotionally from major illnesses. She is known for her holistic approach, helping individuals see themselves as spiritual beings having a human experience. This approach can be seen clearly in her previous books, Conscious Divorce and Empowered Healer. Now, in this recent work, Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates, Ellison takes readers into a new and higher realm of personal experience, showing everyone how to be connected to a partner with physical and spiritual passion. Dr. Susan Ellison has a doctorate in transpersonal psychology, is an energy healer, hypnotherapist, ordained minister, and shamanic practitioner. She has been honored as a Woman of the Year in California for her traditional counseling work, but today her practice is more about being a spiritual teacher and coach, helping individuals grow their consciousness and find love and happiness within themselves and with a beloved mate. Our Spirit Stance, Poetry of Soulmates, illustrates poem by poem how it feels to find one's twin flame and create a loving and committed union. Her final poem, Immortal, also promises that such a love continues after death, and the intensity of the feeling and depth of the love are infinite and endless. Her poetry is the gate that ushers in her next book, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, which is due out in 2015. You can contact Dr. Susan Ellison by emailing her at drsusanellison@gmail.com, and I do have her email address in the show page description, or you can also call 866-268-2121. And again, that phone number is also in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Susan to the show. Good day, Susan. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thanks, Robert. It's great to be here.
Well, I enjoyed your poetry, yours and Thomas, and it's really, I mean, there are a couple of them that I could actually, the imagery that you used, it was just simply wonderful. It kind of transported me there, and to me that's an effective writing when somebody can do that with simple words of poetry. Well, I shouldn't say simple words, but words of poetry.
Yeah, thank you.
But, yeah, well, what I'd like to start off with is, now, first of all, if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners just a little bit about Thomas, because mm-hmm. Now this book was written after Thomas passed, correct?
That's right. He passed away or transitioned August 3rd of last year, 2013, about a year ago. Excuse me. And we had been writing these poems to each other over 19 years. So it wasn't something that was written, you know, just this last year. So we'd been writing them and gifting them to each other for anniversaries and birthdays and Christmas presents. And both of us had, you know, all of them. We kept all of them. And it was interesting in, I guess it must have been 2012, I was doing a book signing for Empowered Healer, and the events coordinator said, you know, I would love you and Thomas to I know you've been, collecting your poems. I'd love you to get that book together to come and do a Valentine event with wine and chocolate, and Tom would read his poem and you'd read yours back and forth for an event here at Capitola Book Cafe. And we were excited. We said, great, we're going to do it. And we started putting the poems together and getting the book together. And unfortunately, Tom became quite sick. He had larynx cancer, and we never were able to put the book together ourselves. We didn't have the energy or the time. So it was one thing he wanted me to do, one request, is that I finish it and publish it, because we both want people to be able to be inspired by our love and know that they too could have such a love. And so that's just a little bit of the story.
Wow. So the so obviously you want people to be able to recognize and to kind of really take part in the evolution of your relationship with Tom. That's the one thing that I thought was one of the things I really enjoyed about it is the book contains poems when you two were together and some when
yes.
you weren't together.
Yep.
So, it's really a roadmap in a way of that relationship. And I think that's, mm-hmm. I think for the reader, it's a wonderful way to recognize that, even if you're with your soulmate, or your twin flame, maybe, times when it's in and out kind of thing.
That's right. That's right. It's, it's not, one thing I was concerned about when I've been doing book signings is that the audience would think that this was somehow magical, that this was somehow, someone waved a wand over us and we had this experience and it was perfect. And and there were lots of challenges, which there are perhaps later in the show, I'll talk about the twin flame union, but there are a lot of challenges at times, and you're each other's teachers and, a twin. And so you look at that person and they're telling you what they're seeing, and that's not always easy. And also the intensity of that kind of soulmated or twin flame union can be challenging. And so, and I've been speaking to a lot of people lately who've been calling in about one partner that runs away, and I was that partner. I was the person who ran away about 4 times. It was so intense. There was so much that I'd never experienced before in my life, and thought I was, my ego told me that my identity was going to be dissolved, or I was going to be swallowed up by this other person, or whatever. And so some of the poems that you're speaking of were when we were separated. So we did several months apart, and I had to kind of get grounded again. And he was very patient. He really kept reminding me of who we were and what we had. And I was able to, pull it together and realize it was safe and join with him. But, it wasn't this very smooth upward path. It was definitely hills and valleys. And, that's why I tell people they have to have the tenacity, the patience, the absolute intuitive knowledge that this is their mate, that this is a person who, is worth fighting for, and that you're going to have this amazing relationship, which we did. And, it was definitely, it took a lot of courage. And so I want to encourage listeners, to be able to have that kind of courage.
Yeah, that was the one thing. Also, I read that, you were, prior to meeting Tom, that you had described yourself as intellectual, linear, black and white kind of gal,
and
to me that was, it's interesting, that along with, that fierce independence, when it comes time to being with a soulmate or, a partner, that those are the things that it's like a balancing act to be a part of the union, but also to maintain that sense of self and identity.
Yes, exactly. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I had been in a very practical relationship before I met Tom. And I loved the person, but probably wasn't in love passionately with them. They were would have been better if we'd remained friends. And so then I meet Tom, and it's like my heart was just absolutely blown open. And just, you know, the passion, the deep soul connection, everything. And, you know, that happened really the first night we met. So it was huge. You know, we were both up all night, both, you know, writing. He said, oh, let's go home. We were in a writing group. Oh, let's go home and write full moon poems, and we'll share them next time. So we both went home, and we were up all night. And I had visions of this person that he had told me about that had died, and she was telling me all of these things, and it was very, very unnerving. I used the word unnerving in the preface because I never had had anything like this happen to me. I had this very, very organized, practical life that made sense. Yeah. You know, from the neck up, it made sense. And suddenly, you know, it's like, you know, my heart's pounding and my kundalini is just rising up and I have all this pulsing in my body and, you know, this incredible, like, cord-like connection to him and clairvoyance happening. And that was like, that was the first night we met, and it, you know, it never stopped. And so it basically scared the heck out of me. And so he wasn't scared at all. He, you know, Tom was Buddhist. He'd had a long spiritual path. He'd traveled the world and, you know, just really a seeker. And I had been too on some level, but not like him. And he was not at all thrown by this. He was thrilled because, you know, he felt that he'd been looking for his soulmate his whole life. And here I was. And so he, you know, he knew that his whole life was over the first night we met, but he was inviting it in. And that was really the difference between us.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the things that I have found that seems to be a common thread is that, you know, when soulmates meet, that there is a, you know, one of them, you know, one would have tended to, you know, been in the search, so to speak, for a while, but the other, you know, maybe not. But it's a coming together and just that that discovery that seems to really be a huge part of the process.
Yeah, no, it was. It has been all along. And, you know, we had things to teach each other. And, of course, he taught me a great deal about opening my heart and letting my spirit lead the way through intuition and so forth in terms of being a spiritual being. And I helped him have his feet on the ground here in terms of, you know, he wasn't very practical, really helped him. You know, I was the one who paid the bills, so to speak. So, you know, I kept him in this world as a human, you know, who was this amazing, really, I called him an avatar in my book and a spiritual teacher for me and a lot of people. I mean, there were 350 people at his memorial. And it was outdoors here in Santa Cruz, California. And, you know, it was amazing because he touched so many people's lives and touched mine. So thank goodness, you know, that I I started to say didn't come to my senses, that I actually, you know, didn't follow my brain, that I followed my heart and my body, that never our bodies never lie, you know, and so that this was, you know, obviously my mate on every level, and I'm just so grateful that I got over my fear and joined with him.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I find interesting is that when I was reading, I believe it was the introduction in the book, is that, you know, you indicated a hesitation when using the words soulmates, you know, in the subtitle mm-hmm. poetry of soulmates,
yes.
because it just seems like it's, you know, it's thrown around a lot, you know.
Yes, it is.
So would you, I would love for you to be able to share with listeners your thoughts about that, you know, kind of, you know, that little battle that you may have had as to use it or not to use it and why
mm-hmm.
you ended up eventually choosing to.
Yeah, and there's a couple parts to that. Good question. The first part is that I think it's become a cliche, and it's a little bit trite to talk about soulmates. Also, you know, it's you know, people want to find their soulmate. There's this concept that, you know, you're going to go out there, you know, with some kind of magnifying glass, you know, and you're going to hold it up and you're going to find
yeah.
your soulmate in some bar or even in church or someplace. You're looking for your soulmate. And, you know, from my experience and the experience of my clients and other people that I've interviewed, it doesn't happen that way. It happens when we have fallen in love with our own souls. We have fallen in love with our own life. We're really living our lives with passion. We know what our purpose is. We're fulfilling it. And we just go out there in the world like, you know, Tom told me I look like a flower opening. You know, that we go out there and we're these flowers opening. We're these beings that are full of light. We're just so happy to be ourselves and to be doing what we're doing. And, you know, we can't help but attract another light. And it's happened that way for everybody that I've spoken to about this, that, you know, your job is to get ready. And so I hesitated in terms of using the word just because I think it's, I don't know if it's been cheapened or people think that they can just go find it. And it first has to be something that we find within ourselves. And then we go out and attract another light. And then the other part of that is that if I had known as much as I do now about twin flame unions, I would have probably titled it, you know, Poetry of Twin Flames, because we were definitely twin flames, perhaps, rather than soulmates. And just briefly, I feel that soulmates, you know, you've had a lot of lifetimes together. There's a resonance. There's a familiarity, which we also had. There's like this sense that you know this person. This person, you know, you know them, and you perhaps have never met them till that moment, but they're so palpably familiar to you in every way, even their scent. You know, this is your mate. And that's true for soulmates, and it's a lot smoother passage and smoother union, and you've had all these times together in past lives. Twin flames, I believe, have fewer past lives. So a lot of the time, your twin flame isn't even embodied, is not incarnating with you, is out in, you know, in a level of heaven, I call it, or the upper world. They don't have a body. They're in spirit, and they may be like a guardian angel. They may be like a muse. They may be helping you through your intuition, but they're not here with you, and it's more rare that you incarnate at the same time. And when you do, it's more intense. There's this intensity. There are these feelings in your body. It's like the clairvoyance in some of my poems. I talk about knowing exactly what he was going to say, what he was thinking, what he was feeling, and that was the first night we met. And it continued the whole time we were together, that there was this cord between us, there was this intensity. I looked in his eyes, he was my twin. And people who believe in the twin flame feel that there is a splitting of souls, and, you know, in terms of the masculine and the feminine, and this is really your other half. And you're still a whole soul, but this is the other part of you, who you are. And a lot of people said that about us, that we had that twin feeling, and it was more intense, more challenges, more things happened to us, you know, from Tom's PTSD to our being in prior relationships to his getting cancer. We had a lot of external challenges, and we were able to weather them because of this love, you know, that was so strong. I think we could have really handled anything, and almost everything was thrown at us. So anyway, and I hope that explains
yeah.
a little bit.
No, that does. It does. And I'm glad that you went through that explanation, because, you know, those are terms that, you know, are often talked about. And,
yep.
you know, there is a distinction that, you know, I think would help people gain clarity as to, you know, what they're looking for or what they're experiencing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And clarity is a good thing.
It sure is. It sure is. And, you know, and the people who have been calling me, I have this free offer I will mention later, but I've been getting phone calls and emails, and often it's interesting to me, it's the men that are running away, because it's women who are calling me, and they're saying, you know, we are soulmates or twin flames. We both know it. It's just so strong. The intensity is just incredible. It's a beautiful union. Neither of us have ever experienced anything like this. And he is running away. And, you know, I was the one who did that. And so I can explain to the people who are contacting me what I think is probably going on for the other person, which is this ego fear whispering that, you know, you're going to be swallowed up and dissolved and lose yourself, and you know, your identity is going to disappear, and you're going to be, you know, scrunched and squished and swallowed by this big love. But people that are deeply in love, you do merge. There is a merging. There is a joining, and it does not mean that you're going to lose yourself. It just means that that's part of the process of you coming together in the union. And so I try to say, you know, say that to people so that they kind of understand what's happening to their partner.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, to me, that's, it's interesting. As a matter of fact, we have someone who might be calling into the show who has spoken with you. And so
mm-hmm.
she's a listener right now in our chat room. One of the things that I thought was interesting is that there was that you talked about the difference in poetic style of writing
mm-hmm.
of you and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If you wouldn't mind, explain to the listeners
no.
a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, in the preface, I don't know if it's in the preface, but I, at least on another radio show I did, I said that, you know, Tom was a poet since he was 16 years old. He wrote his first poem in high school. And I also wrote, even as a fifth grader, you know, I wrote poetry, but his poems from the beginning were very much from his gut and his heart. He was a very powerful writer who never wrote intellectual poems, which, you know, you mentioned maybe even before the show, Robert, but, you know, his poems especially have a lot of imagery, a lot of, you know, using the senses, that you can see, you can smell, you can hear, you can touch and feel what's happening in the poem, and you are there. And that is what he hoped to do in his writing, and his novels are that way too. He has a fabulous novel called Local Tribes, and you are there in the novel because his descriptions are so graphic and his imagery is so strong. And so he taught me to get out of my head and more in my gut, and to write from that place, which is very powerful, and to always tell the truth, always write with this, you know, edge where I'm really putting out there my raw, true feelings. And he definitely does that in his poetry. And I say that he's a cross between Charles Bukowski and Gary Snyder, because he writes a lot of nature, uses nature images mainly and nature poetry like Gary Snyder, but he was like Charles Bukowski, that he is just putting it out there exactly, you know, almost like throwing up, you know, he's like, blah, like here is what I really, really feel all over the page, you know, this is it. And he wanted to reach in and affect the reader, so that the reader was really moved to some feeling from his poem. And I've learned to do that, but my style is much more traditional. Tom didn't use capitals or punctuation. He also staggers his lines to sort of reflect the theme. And my poems are much more kind of, in order. I do use capitals. I do use punctuation. You know, I was an English and literature teacher in this lifetime also. And so that probably, did a number on me in terms of my, freedom, because I'm much tighter as a writer and studied more poets and more literature probably. Well, Tom was a lit major too, but he broke free of it, and his poetry is much freer and wilder and all over the page. Mine is a little more constrained, and it reflects our personalities.
Yeah, and I'm a nature lover myself. So, the images that he painted to me were just, that's why I said I was kind of just taken there, which to me it was wonderful. And I particularly, you mentioned his spacing and that kind of thing. And I particularly loved his spacing on the one of Spirit Flight. It was like the geese flying in the sky, which is a very common occurrence down here in South Carolina. So I just kind of laughed at that. Oh, this is really great. They're really, really wonderful. Now, you mentioned we were going to talk a little bit about that special offer that you're going to provide the listeners. If you wouldn't mind, let's talk about that right now, because then I want to bring on the caller who actually took advantage of that. So, first of all, what is the special offer that you're going to offer our listeners?
All right. So anyone who wants to call me at my toll-free number, which is 866-268-2121, I am offering a 15-minute free consultation, and we can talk about any issues that came up for you in the show or anything else that you'd like to work on with me. And a lot of people have taken me up on this offer, and some people have continued to work with me, which is also wonderful. I can do my work very well on the phone and by Skype or email, but I particularly appreciate talking with people in terms of the energy between us. So that is my offer.
Okay, great. Well, this person who I'm bringing on now is a regular listener of my show. So when she said that she has heard you before and actually called in, I was excited to say, hi, here's actually someone who knows you and who knows my show.
Great.
Together. So anyway, it's Sky Crow.
All right.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, Sky Crow?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you
hear
me?
We're doing great, thanks. Yep.
Yes, we can hear you, Sky.
Yeah, so I was excited to see Susan on your show, Robert.
Yeah, well, one of the things, now, Sky, you called Susan, and would you mind sharing your experience so that the listeners know what your experience was?
Sure, yeah, it was great. Had heard her on the Pamela Edmonds show, and she had offered the 15-minute reading, and so I called because I was very excited to hear about the soulmate poetry and some of the things she had mentioned on the show there, and I called, and we had just a great connection and found out we have a lot in common as far as, the relationship between us both having transitioned husbands who are in the other realm that we can connect to on a regular basis. And so I was just so excited and had a beautiful guided meditation, and it's just been wonderful. And thank you, Susan.
Oh, you're welcome, Sky. It was my pleasure. I loved working with you.
Now, Susan, do you often, because you have this, unique, not necessarily unique, but the situation where, you have your husband in spirit, do you have generally women who come to you who have very similar types of circumstances and their desire is to maybe continue that kind of connection? Now that they transitioned, their husbands had transitioned?
You know, it's interesting. It hasn't been a focus in my therapy practice, but since this book has come out, it definitely, I have a few people in my practice now who want to be able to have this connection. And since I've been doing this radio tour, I've had a lot of people calling me. And, you know, this next book that's coming out, what I see, this poetry book is sort of a forerunner. It's a segue to this next book, because this next book is called You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven. And it teaches people how to shamanic journey to spirit worlds and find animal helpers, spirit allies, teachers, guides, and connect with their loved ones who have transitioned. So that book is all about giving the tools to everyone on the planet to be able to do this work that I have been doing for over 20 years and be able to connect with their loved ones who have passed on. And my goal is to help people overcome their fear of death, because there is no death. We're all immortal. We are. I know it from, you know, all these, you know, over two decades of going to what I call a level of heaven and connecting with loved ones there, like my parents. So I know that a level of heaven that we can go to exists, and I know that our loved ones are safe. So if I can help people overcome the fear of death and know where their loved ones have gone, I have goosebumps all over me right now, because that is, I know, a part of my contract in this lifetime, or my soul's purpose, is to help people with those two things. So that's what I'm up to.
Whenever you get that little chicken skin goosebumps, that really is a confirmation of, you know, something
God
that's important. Now, Sky, I just ask you one more question, and then we'll go on back to Susan. Sky, with your husband who passed, his name is Indy, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, with Indy, do you have contact? What is your current status of communication with Indy? I mean, do you feel him around? Was Susan able to, through that guided meditation, able to help you strengthen that communication or that connection?
Well, I think that it seemed like just as soon as he transitioned, it was within a matter of a day or two he was in contact with me on this realm.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the course of the first 6 months, he showed me signs. He set up a communication line through a clock. I think I've talked about that with you before, Robert. And then there's all kinds of wonderful miracles. Of course, you know, I follow ACIM. So, you know, I think everything's a miracle. And I think the guided meditation that Susan and I did, it was wonderful. And I think that she brought me back to a sacred place that I had always had, but I had not gone to that sacred place since Indy's transition, because I was trying to connect to him more on this level. Of course, in dreams, of course, you know, have dreams about him all the time. And but one of the things that struck me that Susan said that I thought was so wonderful and takes it a little bit deeper is that through her shamanic work, if I understand this correctly from Susan, they're able to transcend form or become any kind of form. And I just thought that was really wonderful, just amazing. And because when I go into the dream realm, I see like his physical being, and we haven't actually transcended any kind of different kinds of forms that I'm aware of. We might, and I don't remember it when I wake up.
Not yet. Well, great. Well, you know, I appreciate you listening always, like you do, and particularly calling in, you know, and sharing your experience with Susan, and it's great so that now the listeners know, you know, that it's a very good experience, and hopefully they'll take Susan up on her offer, her very generous offer. So thank you, Sky, for calling in. And, again, I appreciate you listening to the show.
Okay. Thank you both. Okay.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye, Sky.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Okay, well, gosh, Susan, we're a little bit past halftime, so I want to take just a quick two-minute break.
All right.
And then when we come back, we'll continue. And I'd like to, after we come back from break, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love for you to maybe read a poem or two from the night that you and Tom met, that full moon experience that you had, okay?
All right, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Roy Worley, and I'd like to talk a little bit about Robert Sharpe's thought-provoking and insightful book, Joy Potential. I personally witnessed a wellspring of people who have responded to share their personal experience as to how reading Joy Potential affected them and their life in a very positive way. It's been interesting also to see how different parts of the book really impact people at different levels of their consciousness. So if you've not read and then reread Joy Potential, get your copy today.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential because as I just in the first few pages began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone, and with that I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
For more information, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me. Or call 843-808-0777. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, I do want to thank Roy and Maya from Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York, for those testimonials about Joy Potential. I greatly appreciate that. And also to remind you that I do have my second book, which is called It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, which is all about some insights and awareness I have gained over the 4 years of doing this show and different actions people can take to make their life better and less stressful. And so far, that's going pretty good. You've got some people taking actions and actually making their life better. So check them both out at biteradio.me. Okay, back to today's show. Again, my very special guest is Dr. Susan Allison, and she is author of Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates. Again, you can contact Susan at her email address, drsusanallison@gmail.com, or call her toll-free number at 866-268-2121. Again, I do have both her email address and that toll-free number in the show page description. And again, she has generously offered a 15-minute session to callers or listeners who want to call in and arrange that with her. And as you just heard from Sky, that was a very positive experience for her. So definitely call Susan and take her up on that. So with that, Susan, we're back.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I think you wanted me to read the poems that we wrote the first night we met.
Yes, I would love to know to hear them. I read them, but I'd love to hear them in your voice.
All right. So just a little review, and I don't know if I even said this, but the first night we met, it was a full moon night in June near the summer solstice, and we were at a writer's group. And Tom said, let's go home and write full moon poems. And it sounded innocent, but we were both up all night. And this is what happened when we came back to the writer's group. Excuse me. We had poems with the same title so and content. His poem, same title as mine, but his poem, Moon in Cancer. Full moon in Cancer blasts through clear sky. On granite boulders, I ponder shimmering swells, lapping cool, silent beach. Sand crabs burrow into wet sand, waves lapping thin membrane shells. Gulls, seals, otters, unable to sleep, groan and chant in the humming glow. Tide pulls back to the outer ocean, exposing starfish on kelp-glazed, kelp-glazed reefs. Closing my eyes, celestial rays shine deep within, where now I wade in crystal pools, merge with you, spirit sister. So that was his poem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then mine, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Mine is also titled Moon in Cancer, and he wrote his at the ocean where he lived, and I lived in the mountains. Full moon in Cancer illumines my path, walking barefoot through green clover. Warm wind ruffles my hair, lifts my black silk skirt. A stream of white milk pours onto apple trees, brightens purple grapes, turns red roses pink, jasmine iridescent. White magnolia blossoms unfold, petal by skin-soft petal, open fully to moonbeams. Stars fall in the silence. My breath quickens, reliving this evening. Your brown hands reaching for mine across white teacups, remembering our eyes meeting, our hearts knowing everything.
Wow, that's wonderful. Gosh, and those were, you did them on the same night but separately, correct?
Yeah, separately. We went home to our own houses and stayed up all, we didn't know this till later, but we stayed up all night, both of us, and we wrote these poems, and then we brought them to the next writer's group and read them. And it blew our minds and a few other people in the writer's group. So this was the first night, and then we both had, we wrote other poems that first night that are in the beginning of the book. The book is chronological, so it has the poems that we've, you know, started writing in 1994, and then the book goes to after Tom's death in 2014. And so it's, 20 years of poetry, basically, most of it written when we were, together after we met.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've found was interesting was, that you met at this writer's group. And,
yes.
To me, when you said, you made that statement about searching for your soulmate and really kind of how important it is to be living your life and happy with yourself, that kind of thing. To me, that was like a perfect example of what you were saying, because you were both obviously at a place doing what you both loved,
Yes.
And it was, that was when it happened.
Exactly. I feel that when it happens is when we're ready. So when my clients say to me, I really want to find my soulmate, then I say to them, then you need to get ready. And how are you going to get ready? And you get ready by fully loving who you are, cleaning up the past. If you have past life issues, you have to clean up, making amends to people, cleaning up relationships, cleaning up everything that you can let go of. And so you're reborn. You're reinventing yourself and a new person with a higher frequency. You have higher consciousness. You are more evolved than you were. And then you make sure you're doing whatever it is that is your passion in your life. and what you truly love, and you're doing that in the world, and then really that your soulmate or twin flame is going to walk right in the door and see you. You know, it's like the movie Avatar, I see you. You really see that person. You see and understand who they are very deeply from an inner place. And that is what happens when you have really worked on yourself, when you've really evolved to that point, is what I believe.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, one of the things, you know, Tom's illness apparently
yep.
was long in duration.
Yep.
So
yep.
I was going to say, I'm sorry, I was going to just ask, how, you know, with that in mind, how did that illness play into your relationship and also your writing, each of your writing?
Mm-hmm. You know, it was, you know, 6 years that we
wow.
went through his cancer. But at first, it was in his larynx, and so as your vocal cords, and they were just like taking little bits of it off at a time, and they didn't want him to lose his voice, because he had an absolutely gorgeous voice. He was on the radio many times. He was a great speaker, very powerful speaker, and singer. So, you know, everybody was trying to save his voice, because he was also an author who was, you know, often on tours and speaking. And so they did their best, but, you know, finally took out one vocal cord and then eventually had to take out the other one. And it was just very, very hard on him. And he was a professional surfer also in his life at one time, was on O'Neill's surf team and Arrow's surf team, two surf companies here in California. And that was very hard when he had to give up the ocean. He couldn't go in the ocean again, and that was super hard. He was an amazing person, though. He never became bitter. He was just still himself in terms of being really loving and generous and kind. That's why I call him an avatar, because he was an amazing person. It was harder on me because I had to watch it, and I had to watch him suffer, and I had to watch, you know, I sat through 7 surgeries and, you know, radiation and chemo. And so, you know, a lot of my poems are full of angst. My poems during that time are full of just heartbreak. And his were about his ascension, because he was already, you know, especially in the last year, he already had a foot in the other world. And his poems, as you can tell, his poems get shorter in the book and very, very spiritual and really not even of this world. You mentioned Spirit Flight, Robert, you know, those poems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where he was going. My poems were about dealing with the biggest loss of my life and heartbreak and still knowing that we're joined, but I'm the one left. You know, I'm the one here. You know, I wrote a story years ago called Mated Ones about two owls, and an owl is hit in the road, and the mate is sitting there. It's a true story. When I got there to this accident and saw this owl dead in the center, the male owl, horned owl, was sitting there mourning. They mate for life, so it was mourning his mate. And it took me into some flashbacks of someone's funeral that I'd been to a couple nights before that. And the last line is that the lucky ones are those who are winging skyward, and then there are those of us waiting by the side of the road, and like that owl. And so that is where I was and have been in terms of my poetry. It's been about dealing with losing him, you know. And
yeah.
the last poem, of course, is about how we are immortal, and I do go up there and I can join with him in the other world. But before that poem, a lot of my poems in the book are about just the difficulty of losing your mate. And I never knew when I wrote the owl story that this was ever going to happen to me. I didn't know I would be one of the ones by the side of the road, but I am. And I have to go on. My spirit allies say to me all the time, it is not your time. You are supposed to be here on Earth doing the work you're supposed to do, and people tell me all the time, like psychics and all these people, I'm going to live into my 90s. You know, somehow I'm here and he's there, and that hasn't always been that fun, and I don't always want to be here, but I'm here, and while I'm here, I'm going to do as much service as I can, but it hasn't been easy, you know, that his illness and death.
Yeah, that is a challenge. And, you know, that's one of the things that I know is a very common feeling, you know, when that happens is, you know, when someone who you are so much in love with, you know, transitions and passes on, you know, that it really takes away a big part of, you know, the experience of living, you know, and but it's, you know, it's ever so much the reminder that we're all on our own little path, you know, and we're here to do supposed to be doing, and the people that in our lives, whether are here for a long time or short time, you know, they're just a part of our experience, and, you know, so it's kind of important to kind of keep that in mind.
You know, I agree with you. A friend of mine and I, we have a friend that recently lost her son in a horrible accident, and she's been really having a hard time. And another friend and I were saying that we feel we have an expiration date, you know, that there is an expiration date for all of us, and it's different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this young man's expiration date was age 25. My husband's was age 65. You know, who knows what mine's going to be or yours is going to be, Robert, but I feel like what happens for me anytime someone transitions or I go to a memorial or whatever, I really get the message that I have to live every moment. You know, I need to really live in the present moment and really savor everything, you know, the sunshine and the, you know, the birds and my children, and, you know, to really know that we have an expiration date. And we really, most of us, I mean, a lot of Native peoples, you know, they will be able to say, they will know that they're going to die, for instance, the next day or whatever. And I've heard this over and over. But for a lot of us, we don't, you know, we don't know when it's going to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, that was when I wrote Joy Potential, which was the first book I wrote. That was really the essence of what I was trying to get across, because it was something that obviously I needed to recognize for myself, is to, you know, really keep in mind that, you know, we have this potential every single day that we're alive to, you know, to be happy, to make lives of other people happy, you know, to make a little difference, maybe create a ripple here or there, you know, to make things better for someone, and that, you know, when the time comes, you know, and that is over with, you know, that opportunity is kind of, that door closes. You know,
exactly.
You know, there may be another trip here, but, you know, that's for a later time.
Exactly. I'm wondering if I could read a poem at this point.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. This one expresses just what we've been talking about. It's called Pretending I'm Dead, and and this is the poem. I pretend I'm dead, lying still without breath. If I move, my husband will turn on his side and spoon me, burying his face in my back, arm around my waist, brushing my breasts with fingertips, and then I will cry. I will cry thinking of his suffering, the hole in his throat, feeding tube dangling from his stomach, crusty sores on his neck from radiation, raised blisters from chemo on his back. And so I pretend I'm dead, must not move or blink, must swallow each breath, freeze my feelings and thoughts, for if I move or breathe, I could remember diving together in turquoise seas in Belize, swimming with rays through forests of kelp. I might see myself lying with him in a hammock in Fiji, listening to drums and watching fire dancers beneath a full moon. If I'm not careful, I could recall the sound of his fingers tapping on my window at dawn, or holding hands in wedding white, eyes smiling and tear-brimmed. All this remembering could crack my heart in more pieces, break it completely in two. And so I pretend I'm dead, stifle my sobs, try to kill all memory with held breath. Growing stiff, I try to become a hollow brain, an empty heart, but years of tears suddenly burst from my gut and chest and throat, and I can be dead no longer, must wail and moan and scream, and my husband enfolds me in his arms, is suddenly the strong healer, and I the wounded. Kissing my face and neck, he strokes my hair until I curl beneath his arm, rest my head in the curve of his shoulder, breathing in and out, willing for now to be alive.
Wow, that's a powerful poem there.
Thank you. Yep, that's what people say when I read that one.
Yeah, that is amazing. Gosh, well, Susan, we are down to the last 4 minutes here. This hour has just shifted, has gone by really quickly. What I'd like to do is maybe close with what projects you're working on next. What things are you working on?
Well, let me just tell people that if you would like to get our Spirits Dance Poetry of Soulmates, you can at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and there's some wonderful reviews there to read if you'd like as well. And I'll give that 866 number again, 866-268-2121 if you'd like a free 15-minute consultation. And my email address is drsusanallison@gmail.com. So that's DR, no period, DR, SusanAllison@gmail.com. And I did mention briefly that I'm working on this book, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, Visit Spirit Realms, Gain Insight, and Enrich Your Life. It's due out a year from now, so it'll be out in the fall of 2015. It's due October 1st, and so I've been working frantically to finish it.
Yeah, I know how that goes. But, you know, that's wonderful. Now, if I'm still around here on air, you let me know, because that sounds like a wonderful conversation as well.
It is. So, it would be a perfect fit for your show.
Great. Well, you know, why don't we finish with, you know, what maybe any final messages that you have for listeners, and maybe what you hope they will, you know, take away from reading Our Spirits Dance?
I want people to have the courage to be in love and to open their hearts fully and to love completely and not to be afraid of it. And you're not going to lose yourself. You're going to actually gain so much in terms of learning from this other person and becoming even, you know, greater and higher than you ever can imagine, which is what happened to me. And also that we're immortal. I want to remind all of you that there is no death, that you're immortal, and that you are going to see your loved ones, and sooner rather than later, and that you don't have to die to go to heaven, and that you can connect with loved ones now. You can learn how to do that. So thank you so much for having me on your show, Robert.
It is my pleasure. Again, everyone, I do want to remind you that today my very special guest has been Dr. Susan Allison, author of Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates. Again, Susan is offering a free 15-minute consultation by, you can call her at her toll-free number, which is 866-268-2121. Again, I do have that phone number in the show page description, so definitely take advantage of that. Our caller Sky did, and she was very happy and very pleased with that interaction. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/BikeRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BikeRadioMe, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.BikeRadio.me, that's BikeRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.